Vayter in Shas. We are in Chulin Daf Ayin, picking up on some of the bees by the bottom of the page. We're in the middle of a sugya, second to last line, in the middle of the words Utsricha. We have Rav Huna and Rabba have a machlokas, and the machlokas comes up in two times, and the question is, why do you need two times? It says Gemara Utsricha Diash Min Bahav. What is just brought to machlokas about the first case, and I don't think Bahakam Rav Huna. In that case, Rav Huna says a bachor is going to be kadosh limafreya. Mishom dilakula, because saying that it's kaddush from henceforth, from this point on, would end up you being a kula. In the case where the owner sold part of the fetus to a guy while it's being born, saying that a bechor is not kaddush until majority came out, is going to come out to a kula that the fetus is not kaddush, because he's saying the sale is a good sale, like Rabba holds. And one may think that Rav Huna is rejecting the fact that Rav Huna's rejection of this view is limited to the case in which it's going to end up in a kula. But in the second case, we're saying that a bechor is kaddush from henceforth, from now and forward, it's going to end up being a chumra. When one third comes out by way of the stomach, right, like a like a cesarean, a C-section, and the latter two-thirds are born naturally, saying that the Kedusha takes effect from now on, it's going to be a Chumrah that's going to be, that is Kaddush, like Rabba said, Asa'ima Modeli Rabba. So we'd say that maybe Rav Huna would be Maskim to Rabba over there, and therefore it's necessary Rav Huna to tell us that he holds his opinion even in the latter case, where it's going to end up, according to him, it's going to end up being a kula. Beep, turn the page. I am about via Torah behind of you, just would have told us of the machlokas about this latter case, the second case, that I would have said that. But how come Rabba, that in this case, Rabba says that a bechor is going to be kaddush from now on, because it's going to be a chumra of a baha, but in the case where the bechor is kaddush from this point on, it's going to be a kula, imam modili Rav Huna, who's green sarf Huna, and therefore it's necessary Rabba to tell us that he holds his opinion even in that case, srichatini, both cases.
We learned in a Mishnah, Hamivakeris, Hamikashalele. You have an animal that's giving birth to its first child, its first animal. The animal gives birth to its first animal, it's a difficult labor. Mechatech Ever. You can cut off each limb of this fetus as it comes out and throw it to the dogs. Is it not talking about over here that you can cut it off and then leave it there until the majority of it has come out, and then you can throw all the pieces to the dogs? So if you want to say that when the majority of the firstborn comes out, it's kaddush l'mafreya, you cover me by it, then it should have said that in this case it would have to be buried, because then the majority comes out and it's sitting right there. What are we dealing with? We're talking about a case where as you cut it off, you throw it to the dogs right away. Therefore, you never have that the roof comes out, never gets this Kedusha Bechor. What would be the case if you cut off and you left it there? You cover. You have to go ahead and you have to bury it. Sorry about that. So now the Gemara asks of that, apologies for that little ringy ding over there, shut this thing off. Now, Adetana Sefer Yatza Ruba Yikover Miniftara Mina Bechora, instead of teaching the latter case that if the majority of the fetus comes out, that it's got to be buried, and the mother's putter from the laws of Bechor, it's bringing up like a whole new situation over here. Lifle of the Sibidi Day, why don't you argue in the very case itself? And that is, you should have said, Bamed Varma Murim, what is it talking about in the first case? That when each limb is cut off as it comes out, and the severed limb can be thrown to the dogs, and you do it one aver at a time. But if it cuts off the limbs and leaves them until the majority of them is out, then it has to be buried. So why does it do that? It says, no comment. That is exactly what it is saying. That's exactly what it's trying to get across. Okay, frak the Gemara. Let's remember again what we're trying to do over here. We know that an animal that is the firstborn is a Kedusha Bechor. And if sometimes a person wants to get out of that level of making a Bechor, you go and you sell it before it, you know, it comes out. You have a sheet of it with a guy, and therefore it doesn't have the Kedusha Bechor. And whatever has already started, and what do we do? So now we're going to continue along with these ideas. Bayi Rava. Holchu be Varim Acharov. Did they go with the idea of majority in reference to Evarim? Olo holchu be Varim Acharov. Or not. Says Rashi. Kidma Farish for Azal, it's gonna go and explain. She Yatza Rubo, majority goes out, Bemiut Aver, Rova Uber Yatza, Umiut Echad Mina Evarim, Hishlim Lyitsia Sarov. You know, the Gemara is gonna actually spell this out. Let's see the Gemara itself. So do we follow majority reverence to limbs or not? Hey Chidami, what are you talking about? Ilema kigon shiyotze ro b'miyot eiver. Let's say 51% of the act of the fetus left the womb, but that portion included 1/3 of the foreleg. So although majority of the foreleg remains inside, the minority that came out together with all the other parts that came out ends up being majority of the entire fetus, but it's only a minority of that particular limb. And right, and the head of the fetus is still inside. So Ilem Kigon Shiyatza Rov B'miot Eiver, the Kami Boile, and Rav is asking the following, Hai Miot Debrai, the minority of that limb, of that leg that's sticking outside, it's outside of the womb. Basa Rov De Eiver Shadin and Lay, do we attach it to majority of that limb, and therefore it's considered like it's inside, or Basa Ruba De Uber Shadin and Lay, to go according to the majority of the actual fetus, and therefore it's considered like it's out. Says Gemara, Pshita De Lo Shafkin and Ruba De Uber Vaselina Basa Rov Eiver. What are you talking about? Of course you don't leave over the majority of the fetus and go according to the majority of the limb. In that case, of course, you go according to, it's considered like it's out. Ella, must be the case is, Kigon Shiyatza Chetzio B'Rov Eiver. Rav is talking about a case where exactly one half of the fetus came out from the womb, but you have the majority of a particular limb is out. Becoming by the other question is, Ahu Miut Debegavoy, the minority of the limb that's inside the womb. Ma'ul Mishte Basa Rov Eiver. What is in reference to being thrown onto the majority of the limb? Like, do we say that since the majority of that limb came out, and even the part that's inside is considered like it's born already, and that portion can be added to the one half of the fetus that's outside, so in total now in total majority of the fetus is considered like it came out, or maybe we don't look at the minority of the limb as being born because of the fact the majority came out and we can't add that portion to the part of the fetus that's outside, and now we don't consider it like a majority came out. Says Gemara Toshima, let's see. Yatza, we can see from actually Mishnah, Yatza Ruba, or raise the cover, if the majority of the fetus came out, it's got to be buried. My Ruba, what does it mean majority? Yilema Ruba, Mamish, if it means the majority of it, Mamish, right, the majority of the actual fetus came out in one piece, and it's just telling us you have to go ahead, that the coming at the majority is considered like it's born. Ad hashta lo ashmiin and ruba kakulo. What, we never learned this principle of ruba kakulo? They have to teach it over here. Of course we know it's all over the place. El alav kigon shiyotze chetzio b'ruv eiver. Must be, it came out exactly half of the fetus with the majority of a limb, and therefore, and now that we consider this, we're calling this the majority, and teach it must be buried, and Mishnah is telling us that the minor part of the limb that's inside is connected to the part that's out, the majority of that limb, and now it's considered like it's out, now it's more than a percentage. Oh, says Gemara, lo, not true. Kikon Shiyatza Ruba Miot Eiver. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the majority of the fetus came out with a miot of an Eiver. The Kamash Malana is coming to teach us, De lo Shafkinan Rubo De Ober De Behemah Vazina Bosa Eiver. That we don't forsake the majority of the animal fetus and go according to the limb itself. We don't say that the limb is unborn because the majority of it's still inside. You go by the rest of the body there. So since the minor part of the limb came out as part of the majority of the entire fetus, we look in the concept of majority and include it in the measure of born, so that it's contributed to the birth of the fetus as a whole. So now we got a series of questions about this. Boy Rava. Krachel b'siv mau. If you wrap the fetus in a sieve, a sieve is known as bast. Now, what is bast? You ask. That is it's like a fibrous inner bark of a type of tree or a plant or something like that, and you use it to go ahead now to, before it's born, if you wrap the fetus in that, what's going to be the din, right? So what we're trying to say over here is that. Does this chatzitza between the fetus and the wall of the womb prevent the fetus from being kadosh as a bechor or not? But talit somehow, and let's say you wrapped it in a garment before its birth, what's going to be the din? Mishal yosomehow, if you wrapped it in the amniotic sac before it was born, what would be the halacha? What would be the din? What's the difference between the amniotic sac and the other thing we said is bast is that one of them is like not its own min. It's like a totally external concept versus one that's an internal thing. So the Gemara says b'shul yasa. You're asking about the amniotic sac or chehu. That's a normal way that a baby is born. What are you talking about? Ela b'shul yacheres ma'u. You take another shilya, right? Is that considered a chatzitza or not? Or let's say kurachtu v'chazasu. If this woman who's taking care of the, like the, thinking of the birth, enveloped the fetus in her hands and held it and drew it out of the womb, what's going to be the din? Are the hands a chatzitza? Maybe since this is a normal way of delivering a fetus, it's not considered a chatzitza. Hey, chidami, what's the case that we're dealing with? If the fetus came out head first and you wrapped it, its remainder while it was inside the womb, petarte, then the fetus opened the womb, as in pet there, by putting forth its head, and automatically its kadosh makes it into a bechor. Yeah. What's he talking about? That the fetus came out feet first, and before the majority of the body came out, the person wrapped the part inside the womb in some sort of substance. Since the fetus is not legally born until the majority comes out, then there's relevance to the question of whether any of these things are considered like a chatzitza or not. Now, what? Not only that, but wait, there's more. Let's say a weasel put its mouth in the animal's womb, swallowed the fetus, and drew it out of the womb, and then spit it out. What's going to be the din? Otsiaso. Gemara says, hold on a second. The weasel drew the fetus out of the womb. Ha apikte. In that case, the weasel removed it while it was still enveloped, as it didn't touch the walls of the birth canal at all, and therefore, that's the very question you asked before. Ella b'la'asuvo tzasuvich nisasuvichatu. The weasel swallowed the fetus and drew it out of the womb, and then reinserted it and spit it out from its stomach back into the womb. And then it came out on its own. Mahu, what's going to be the din? These are quite interesting cases. Even if it's not kadosh as a bechor, because of its initial coming out, does it become kadosh for the second time coming out? Hidbik shnei rechamim, or let's say you have a case where you have two wombs of different animals that attach to one another. The yatzim izav nichas azeh, a fetus came up from one of them and went into another, was born from the second animal afterwards. Ma, what's going to be the din? Didei patar, do we say the fetus can open the womb of its own mother, exempt her from then afterwards bringing a bechor? The law of didei lo patar, but it can't open the womb of another that's not its own mother. Therefore, even though it came through the birth canal of the other animal, the animal remains subject to the law of bechor. Odilma, the law of didei nami patar, maybe even if it's not its own mother. The second one is also going to be patar from bechor. So as it goes to all these questions, teiku. Eliyahu Navi, Eliyahu Atishbi, Tishbi Tarts Kushios Ve'ibayos. Boy Ravacha, Frag Ravacha, Niftachu Kosli Besarechem Mahu. If the walls of the birthing canal opened wide that the fetus is born without actually touching them, just opened up and fell out, Avir Rechem Mekadesh, does the airspace of the birth canal sanctify as a Bechor? Ve'ika, and therefore, that's what happens, is airspace, and therefore it's a bechor. Only the touch of halakha, you don't have that. What happens if the walls of earth canal were torn off? What's going to be the din? Well, let's say the walls of earth canal were torn and completely removed from the mother's body before the fetus, before the birth. And how about nekru? Nekru? The Gemara says, once again, the walls of earth canal were torn off. Lister, then they're not here, and it's obvious that the fetus can't be kadosh. If the walls of earth canal were torn off and then became suspended on the neck of the fetus, what's going to be the din? They're torn away from the body and found their way into the womb where they became coiled around the neck of the fetus. What's the din? B'mekomen mekache, only in their place are mekadesh. Shalom kom lo mekache, odom shalom kom enam mekache. Even now they're placing mekadesh. B'ayimene rabbi yirmiya mei rab zeira. Another question. Ay, ay, ay. Nigmimu, let's say the walls of the birth canal were peeled away. What's the din? The inner layer of the entire circumference of the birth canal is peeled off. Is it still considered the birth canal? It's going to be Mekadesh. Omar lei kanagat bebaya de'ibayilan. You've touched upon the question that we asked, and maybe we can figure out from your answer, we can figure out our answer. Debayi Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asked the following question. Some say Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Zeira. Rav Asi. Let's say the part of the wall that's been peeled away, the wall, but the walled part exceeded the gap, and the fetus comes out by way of the gap. You have a significant part of the wall that's going around the birth canal. Less than half of it was peeled away. And when the birth canal opens wide, the fetus passes through the section that has no wall. Paritz meruba la omed v'yatza derech omer, or let's say you flip it, the gap exceeds the walled portion and the fetus comes out by way of the walled part, my, what's going to be the din? Like, do we judge the birth canal by the majority or not? Right? Do we say that when the major part of the birth canal is intact, then even the minor part that's gapped is considered as though it's walled, so that the fetus can be sanctified by passing through it, and therefore, and do we say also the opposite, when the majority part of the birth canal has been peeled away, then even the minority part that is walled is considered as though it's gapped, so that the fetus cannot be cutless by going through it? Adkan lo ibayle ela parts ruvela omed. So far, Zera didn't ask except about the case when the gap is more than the walled part. De ika omed ba'olam, where there's at least some walled part that exists and the fetus is coming by way of that walled part. Aval nigmimu lo kam ibayle. However, regarding the case where the walls were entirely peeled away, he didn't ask at all. So I learned from this that when the walls are entirely peeled away, that the fetus is definitely not kadosh as bechor. Beep, turn the page. Ayin, amud, base. Wah, wah, wee, wah. On to the next Halakha Mishnah. Behema shemes ubra besoch me'el. Let's say if an animal and the fetus died inside the womb. V'hoshi teroz yado v'nagabo, and the shepherd sticks his hand into the womb and touches it. Behema behema tamei behema tahora. Either way, tahor. They're still going to remain tahor. Rabbi Yosei Aglili omer. Rabbi Yosei Aglili says b'tameya tamei. No, if it's a tamei animal, tamei b'tahor tahor. Okay, says Gemara. My time of the Tanakama. What's the reason of the Tanakama that it's why does the dead fetus not transmit tuma like every new novella? Amar Rav Chista Kal V'Chomer. Im ho ila ima latir bachila. If the mother accomplishes allowing it to be eaten, in the case where it's, you know, shechted and is in the womb, lo tola latare mide novella. It just doesn't accomplish it, and which is much of a less achievement, keeping it pure of tuma novella while she's still alive. Emma's still alive, so the mother's still alive. There should be no problem. Ask him, okay, we found this. That makes sense. You can see Torah with the kosher animal. But behemoth tamei minalan. Where do we know this would apply for behemoth tamei? Amar kra, like a non-kosher animal. Amar kra, v'chi yamus mina behemoth, if one among animals shall die. Zo behemoth tamei. Asher hi lachem la'ochla, and then the continues that you may eat, zo behemoth tahora. Iskish behemoth tamei, le behemoth tahora. Ma behemoth tahora, ubra katahor, af behemoth tamei, ubra tahor as well. Rabbi Yosei Aglili, my time. Why is Rabbi Yosei Aglili says that a dead fetus in the womb of a non-kosher animal is going to be tamei? Rabbi Yitzchak Damar Kra, v'chol holich al kapav, b'chol chaya holeches. Pasuk says, and everyone that walks on its paws, among all living creatures that walk, and says on four hooves that are unclean to you, whoever touches their body is going to be tamei until the nighttime. Mahalche kapayim b'chaya tamei silach. So you understand the pasuk saying that dead animals that would walk on their paws if they were alive, and that are within living creatures, like a dead fetus and non-kosher thing, it's in the mother's womb, I have declared tamei to you. Adarasha says the Gemara, Ela me'ata kolith b'mei para litamei, but according to, if that's true, then a fetus with joined hooves in the womb of a cow or another clean animal has died, should be tamei as a nevela. Right, if it happens that the fetus of a cow or another kosher animal that was formed defectively in joined hooves and died in the womb, such a fetus is considered of the kosher species despite its lack of split hooves. Back in the Gemara, the Mahalchei Kapayim B'Chayahu, because it's a dead creature that would walk on its paws, and it's within a living creature. So why does Rashi say no distinctions over here that in the Mishnah that any dead fetus in the womb of a clean animal is taller? And for the Gemara, Mahalchei Kapayim B'Mahalchei Arba. It says what's tamei, the dead creature that would walk on their paws and are within the living creatures that walk on four hoofs. Five mahalchei arba mahalchei shmonehu. This one, the fetus who's joined hooves that in the womb of a cow is dead creature that walks on four paws, but is within a living creature that walks on eight hooves, since the mother's hooves are split. Therefore, this pasuk itself implies that the dead fetus is tamei only if it's the womb of an animal that has joined hooves, a.k.a. a non-kosher animal. Frak de Gemara, para b'me'ei gamal lo sitame. If that's the case, according to Yitzchak, how he darshens, if a fetus that looks like a cow, that has split hooves, in the womb of a camel or another non-kosher animal has died, it should not be tamei as nevela. Since it's a dead creature that would walk on eight hooves, it's within a living creature that walks on four hooves. So, Yossi say that any dead fetus in the womb of an unclean animal is nefil. Seemingly, this is not the case. It's across the board. And for the Gemara, holich v'chol holich. The Rabbis parve me gamal. Instead of saying just holich that walks, it says and all and every one that walks. And the spots, whoever touches their body is going to become tummy. And that's going to include the the fetus that looks like a cow in the womb of a camel. Teaching, although it has split hooves, it also has a tumma of nevela. In fact, the Gemara called it b'mei kluta litame. So then if you have yourself, according to this, of a fetus with joined hooves in the womb of a kosher animal that has joined hooves, and it dies, it should be tummy as a nevela. Because now you have the mahalche arba, the mahalche arba hu. So as Rosie said, that any dead fetus in the womb of a clean animal is taller. L'hachi ha'ani kalvachomer Rav Chista. For this, Rav Chista's kalvachomer comes and helps. If it can make it work when it's dead, clearly it can make it work when it's alive. Okay. Maskefla Rav Achadvai Barami. Chazir b'mei chazirta lo metame. According to this drasha, the Rav Yitzchak's drasha, a dead pig, fetus, in the womb of another pig should not become tummy. The mahalche shmona b'mahalche shmonu. Right, they've split hooves. But Rav Yossi said it's tummy, this dead animal, any unclean animal, including the pig. Ella. Amar Nechmi Yitzchak Mehacha. He learns it out from the following. Nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tameh, o b'nivas chaya tameh, o b'nivas meme tameh, o b'nivas sheretz tameh. That if a person touches any tummy thing, whether the carcass of an unclean chaya or that of an unclean behemoth or unclean creepy thing, he's tameh. Chi nivas behemoth tameh mitameh v'tahor lo mitameh. Is it, only the carcass of an unclean behemoth is going to give over tuma as nevela, but that of a clean behemoth will not give over tuma as nevela? A pasuk says straight up in another pasuk that even that of a clean behemoth has the tuma of nevela. So why is it the pasuk singling out this that of an unclean behemoth as being the category of nevela? Ella ezeze, which is this? Like what type of carcass are we talking about? Zeober, it's talking about a fetus that died in its mother's womb. Shebitemeya tame vitoritar. In the case of an unclean behema, right, the tummy one, it's going to be tummy's nevela, and the other one, the clean one, is going to be tahor as a nevela. Ooh, me'acha denafka limi de Rav Nachum b'Yitzchak. And since Rav Yossi learns this opinion from that of Rav Nachum b'Yitzchak, de Rav Yitzchak lamali. Why do we need that of Rav Yitzchak that we brought up earlier? Elav de Rav Yitzchak hava mina kuli look at the Rabbi. If I would have thought that the entire pasuk expounded by Rav Nachum Yitzchak comes from another that of Rabbi, it's coming up on Ayin Aleph, and I wouldn't have and I wouldn't have interpreted it as meaning that the dead body of a unclean animal, of an unkosher animal in the mother's womb, has the tumah of nevela. Kamash Malah, and therefore comes to tell me in the pasuk is expounded by Rav Yitzchak that the body of a fetus that's joined hooves is tumah as nevela. And this leads us to understand the Pasuk Sebrev Nachav Yitzchak is teaching that the same is going to apply to the dead body of any unclean fetus, including those who have split hooves. Okay, my friends, we're going to stop over here. I want to wish all you all a great, great day.